Michael. I'm I'm a PAO with the Commander Task Force 76. We are the staff kind of in the echelons of going up 7th Fleet and then above them, PAC Fleet. So we're a little bit farther down that manage and run all the amphibious ships. And Ashlyn, as you might have Googled, is an amphibious ship, carries Marines. It right now doesn't have Marines on it because it came from training up in Yokosuka, and it was headed down. It's scheduled to participate in an exercise with Marines upcoming, but on its way down, it was obviously, as you guys saw from the press release, got a distress call and then quickly reacted. So we've got on the line here the commanding officer, Commander Steve Watson of U.S. Ashlyn. We've got the two mariners, Jennifer Apple and Tasha Fuaba. And we've got two other sailors, Lieutenant Junior Grade Cody Colbert and Petty Officer Third Class Eric John. Those two were just involved on the boat team to do the rescue. Just as a recap, and I'll let them kind of start to give their story, but as you guys probably saw from the press release, we've got the, we being the U.S. Navy, got the distress very early morning, around 1:30, just from just a number of sources. We got it from the Taiwanese fishing vessel, put out sort of via satellite phone, and it went through Coast Guard Sector Guam and then on to us, and then we were, the U.S. Ashlyn was tasked to go out there, made best feed, found, located the distress vessel with the two ladies on board, and proceeded as our procedures go to, you know, render assistance, get the boat out there, get the right crews, and then ultimately it was deemed that their vessel was unseaworthy, and so we brought them on, and that's where they're at now. So what we'll do is open it up to questions. I'd like to do one question and then your and one follow-up. We'll try to do about five, six, but certainly just want to make sure that everyone gets a chance to ask if you have follow-on. So I know on a telecon it's hard to kind of raise your hand, but I'll let you all, if you hear kind of silence, just go ahead and jump in. But what I ask is give your name, give the outlet you're with, and then who you would like to answer the question. I know a lot is probably directed at the Mariners. If there's any Navy, you know, like I said, we've got the CO and some of the crew on the line. So with that, I'll open it up, and we have the CO's bio. We have some other info and B-roll. We're getting more video. And I know some of you video folks out there have some special requests for live tapings and things like that. We can work that out after. We just have some logistical things with, obviously, being on a ship, you know, some of the connectivity is not as best as it would be if we were ashore, but hopefully at least this call, we get some of the initial info out there and get some of your questions answered. So with that, I'll open it up.
Hi there. This is Allison Blair with Hawaii News Now. I guess this question is directed towards Jennifer. We saw the video of you on board the boat with the moment when your rescuers arrived. Describe the moment you saw the Navy and what was going through your mind. You were throwing a shotgun, blowing kisses. What were you thinking?
Thank God we've been rescued. I have tears in my eyes as I say this. It was incredibly emotional, and it was so satisfying to know the men and women that serve our country would come and assist us. It was actually quite mind-blowing and incredibly humbling.
Can you tell me also where you were docked in Oahu?
We had a mooring at Tahiti Small Boat Harbor with Deborah DeDoit, and we also spent time at the Alawat with Ken Chi.
Jennifer and Natasha, can you guys walk us through what happened, kind of, you know, the series of events that led to you being stranded?
Hey, real quick, just I think we had a couple people just join us. For those that just joined, we've got the Ashland crew and the two Mariners on. What I've asked of everyone is just provide your name of the news outlet and where you're from. So before you ask your question, thanks everyone.
Jennifer, Natasha, and Miguel Almaguer with NBC News. I'm curious if you guys could kind of walk us through kind of the series of events that led to you being stranded and what you were thinking over that 5 months.
We had a spreader that actually failed. For people who do not know sailboats, when you think of the mast, the big stick in the center, and you make the little cross, one of those sides of the cross broke. And without that, you have a structural integrity problem that continues to cause a failure for that section that holds the mast to the back of the boat. And so we could proceed, we made some modifications in order to proceed, but we could not go more than about 4 to 5 knots. So we had limited capability to maneuver. We got into a pretty bad storm, and the motor got flooded, and the solenoid for the starter was destroyed. So we were able to maneuver on a limited basis, and our communication also failed. So during the time, the 5 months at sea where we got to figure out how the ocean works, we enjoyed learning about the ocean, its creatures, the weather, staying sane, and we did hail a number of different ships that we saw during the 5 months. No one had responded until we saw the Taiwanese fishing vessel. The fishing vessel was very kind, but they were not adept at towing the boat, and additional structural damage occurred during the 24 hours that we were with them. So they graciously allowed me to swim over to their boat to make a mayday call, because we probably had less than 24 hours before our boat sank if we continued on with them.
Can you speak a little bit? This is Howard Dash from Honolulu Channel 2 News. Clearly you had ample supplies. Clearly you're very experienced. So you set out on a journey like this. There's always an expectation, or maybe not an expectation, but a realization that something like this could happen. It seems that you were as prepared as you could possibly be, true?
We did the best we could. There's a book called A Voyage for Mad Men, and it was the very first around the world race. 9 men set out to do it, and only one came back. And being that's the basis for our understanding of what can happen out in the ocean, and talking with other sailors who had made the exact same trip from Honolulu to Tahiti, they said, pack every square inch of your boat with food. And if you think you need a month, pack 6 months, because you have no idea what could possibly happen out there. And the sailors in Honolulu really gave us good advice. We're here.
Were there periods when you were out there that you thought, this is it? This is the way this story is going to end?
We survived 2 different shark attacks, and at both of them, we actually thought it was lights out, and they were horrific. And it is...
Apologies for jumping in. Just so we know, this is Jennifer speaking right now, and we've only been hearing from Jennifer so far.
Okay.
Good. It's Tasha. Hi, Ben.
Oh, that was Tasha who was just speaking?
Turns out that sharks are very intelligent, and they work in packs. And at least they give you 4 before they see you.
I think to answer your first question, yes, the first person I was talking to was Jennifer and then Natasha just now.
Okay, got you. Thank you.
Could you guys just elaborate a little bit more on that, on the sharks and what happened? I'm a little confused.
If you could maneuvering through their living room, and they came by to slap their tails and tell us that we needed to move along, and we did not understand their language at first. So they, the first group of tiger sharks were probably 20 to 30 feet in length. There were five of them, and they had two babies, and they decided to use our vessel to teach their children how to hunt. And they attacked at night. The next morning, a pod of five male dolphins showed up to check on us and see if we were alive. They first noticed the boys, Valentine and Zeus. Then they saw me, but they would not leave the boat until they heard Natasha speak. And when they did, they went about 200 yards off the port bow and started doing flips. And later that evening, at least 70 of their cousins, brothers, friends, and relatives all came to have a party by the boat. And we knew that that was special. The next morning, one of the tiger sharks, who was a really sore loser, came by, and he was about 20 feet long. It came up and freeboard hit the starboard quarter, which is the backside of the boat. So I do understand how freeboard holing occurs. We were just incredibly lucky that our hull was strong enough to withstand the onslaught.
This
we also learned that they like to eat dogs.
I know you haven't even made your way back to land again, but do you already have plans to set sail again, or have you kind of had enough of the water for the moment?
We are actually looking forward to seeing the sea nymph again, hopefully in Okinawa, so that we can repair her and sail her back north of the French Frigate Shoals and back into Oahu.
No fear.
Well, you got to die sometime. You may as well be doing something you enjoy when you're doing it, right?
Good for you.
Sorry, can you tell us the name of your sailboat one more time?
Oh, I apologize. This is Jennifer. At the current time, the boat is adrift and is working its way towards, say, roughly the Northern Marianas to the southern part of the Japanese Nenpo Soto Islands. And we are hopeful that some other vessel who is crossing from either the Philippines, South China Sea, or Japan on their way to Oahu, to Honolulu Harbor, to deliver goods would be able to spot it and let the U.S. Coast Guard at Honolulu Sector know about that to help us retrieve the boat.
Can you tell us the name of your boat one more time?
Yes, it was the Sea Nymph.
Can you spell that? I'm sorry, I'm having a really hard time hearing it.
Sierra, Echo, Alpha, November, Yankee, Mike, Papa.
The two words?
Yeah, two words.
Hi, this is Louis Martinez with ABC News. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So one question that I've gotten is, this is obviously a sailboat. How could you not sail to your destination?
The rigging, which holds the mast, which is that mast weighs a little over 600 pounds. It's 57 feet tall, so it's roughly six stories in the air. And the metal pieces that hold it in place broke. And so it's kind of hard to hold up fabric that can move a 25-ton boat in 20-knot winds if the entire thing is shaking and ready to fall over and capsize the boat. Picture your house getting shook with an earthquake and walls starting to come apart. And yet you can't get any help at all because you're in the middle of nowhere. And if it falls apart around you, you're swimming and you're shark bait. So no, we could not sail.
And just to be clear, Jennifer, did you leave from Ke'ehi or Alawai Boat Harbor?
alibi.
And can I ask how the rigging got damaged? I mean, was it in that initial storm in May?
In fairness, I spent 2 years rebuilding that boat, the hull, and I had hired a rigger from Hawaii to resize the rigging for me so that there would be no issues, and I hired an electrician from Hawaii so that all of our communications would work properly. And apparently when they did the mathematical calculations for the sizing, they downsized instead of upsizing, and their stress loads were too great for the structural capabilities.
Where is the next port of call for you guys? When do you expect to be back on land?
Hey, I'm going to jump in on this, guys. Just Navy policy, you know, we're not allowed to say discuss ship movements, but once we get to the destination, we'll announce to everyone.
I have one quick. This is Phil Helsa from NBCNews.com. I have one quick question about the person who said you have to go, you have to die sometime. You might as well be doing something you enjoy when you're doing it. That was Miss Apple, or was that Tasha?
That's Miss Apple. when we left on May 3rd, we were going towards Maui, and when we were crossing between Maui and the Big Island at the Alanui Haha, we ended up in a force 11 storm that night, and that's roughly 50 to 70 mile an hour winds and waves in the 20 to 35 foot category, and that lasted for 2 days, I'm sorry, 3 days and 2 nights. And I was weaved into the boat in order to sail that entire 80 hours. Most people would never get into a force 11 storm. We also suffered a force 8 and a force 9 because we did not have the communication to know that we were traveling into a storm. But we're very spiritual people, and we're extremely appreciative to the ocean for not destroying us sooner and allowing us to be recovered before we entered the most recent storm that we just missed.
Would you guys mind just pronouncing both your last names so we have them correctly?
My last name is Appel, but all of my friends call me Apple. And mine is Puyaba, F is in Frank, U-I, A, B is in Victor, A.
So Fuiava, not B-A, Fuiaba.
Yes, Fuiaba.
Okay, perfect. That's what we thought here. Okay. And then one last question for me. That daily distress call that you guys made for so long with getting no response, was it, you know, hard to make that call every day? I mean, what was going through your mind?
Oh, yes. That was incredibly depressing. Every day we called for 98 days, we were rescued on the 99th. And it was very depressing, and it was very hopeless, but it's the only thing you can do. So you do what you can with what you have. You have no other choice. And be happy. Like, what are your odds? You're alive, you're fed, you have water, your boys are happy, and there's love. And there's different sunrises and sunsets every day. And you're around for a reason, right? But you may as well use the time you have to do something beneficial, right? So there's beauty.
Can I follow up? I think in your opening statement you said you mentioned that there were some vessels that were within your sight but that they did not respond. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And was that because you were on different frequencies, or why do you think that was, or how close were they?
Well, from our boat, we could see roughly 8 nautical miles. And we would hail them, and we shot we shot 10 different flares throughout that time period. People, I cannot speak for someone else on another ship. They may have been having some kind of motor issue that they were dealing with, and their bridge did not see us. Maybe they never heard our communications. If they felt that we were not in imminent danger, they are not required to assist us unless they are within 5 nautical miles. And we understood that. That's part of maritime law.
One last question for me with NBC News. I'm just curious what it was like to be trapped on a sailboat with 2 dogs and just 2 people for 5 months. That's a long time to be together in a small quarters.
I built that boat, and that was something that was made from love. And it's the best sleep I've ever had in my life. There's no drama. There's no crime. You don't know about the outside world. You can connect with the Kama'aina, even though you're in the water. And I believe that all sailors have a different genetic code to them where they can communicate with their surrounding environment. And they're grateful to be back on land, but they don't miss the traffic or the sirens or any of the, you know, the long lines or the honking horns or any of the things that are attached to land-based life. So we did our best to appreciate the time that we had.
Who said that?
Does that help you?
Can you tell us the names of the dogs and just what breeds or what type of dogs and their names, just so we have it?
Valentine, the Vizsla, yes, a Hungarian hunting dog, and the Zeus, who is a pit bull / Sharpe.
I'm sorry, what was the second name?
Zeus,
cool.
Hercules is dead.
Hi there, it's Lauren Spector with NBC News. I just wanted to know, how did you keep track of how many days were going by, and was there ever a day where you just started to lose hope of even being found?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We wouldn't be human if we did not have the human aspect of breaking down and crying and wondering, you know, if there is a true humility to wondering if today is your last day, if tonight is your last night, if the storm that's approaching is going to bring down the rig, and that's it. How do you get back? If they can't see you on a 50-foot sailboat with stories of mass, how are they going to find you in a little yellow rubber dinghy and barely make it over a 3-foot wave? I mean, every ship has a ship's log, and so every day, and almost on the hour to every 2 hours, rewrote our location and the conditions that we were in. And we took videos. I have a Geiger counter. We took radiation readings on a regular basis to see how the radiation from Fukushima, Japan, was affecting the areas that we were in. We tried to make as copious notes as we could in order to detail the experiences, and then the events like the shark attack, we wrote the stories of. When the dolphins would come, the dogs would let us know because they could smell the dolphins coming, and videotaping them barking and having fun, you know, when we would see marlins or different. We'd have flying fish and squid landing on the deck, and if those had been foods that we would eaten, we would probably have been fine, right? But we don't, so we just
Hey, everyone, we're going to do one final question. And I encourage everyone, if you want, we do have the Navy folks on the line.
Yeah, I'm getting off right now.
Over to everyone.
Hey, this is Tyler from Stars and Stripes. I actually did have a question for the sailors, the Navy sailors.
We're wrapping up right now.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, who do we have from the Navy on the line here?
So we have the CO and the boat officer, okay. And I can get you the actual spelling. But
is it CO commander? Is it Watson? Is that how you say it properly?
Yes.
Hey, Commander Watson, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Right, my question for you, Commander, is so who notified your ship about these distressed mariners? And once you receive that notification, what are kind of like the procedures that your ship takes? How do you kind of respond to those calls?
We were notified very early in the morning over communications, the Coast Guard and our bosses as well, and we're given a lat long to drive to. So we made best speed available to that lat long and searched that area, and then received another additional updated lat long, and it was really the second one that we received further to the east of where we were is when we found the Taiwanese vessel and the sailing vessel together.
Okay. And once you found them, just to follow up on that, once you found them, what were kind of the next steps that you took? In terms of how does your crew respond? What do they do?
So we got assembled our boat crew. DBS, we didn't know what we were coming upon, so we prepared for any contingency. But we did lower our small boat with the boat crew, an engineer and electrician that could potentially, we didn't know the situation of their sailing vessel, so we put that crew together, put our small boat in the water, went over to the sailing vessel. Two of our members embarked on their sailing vessel, kind of assessed the damage and see if it was anything that we could assist with. Once it was determined that it was beyond ship's force capability, we gathered the two dogs, the two women, and brought them back on board our ship.
And just my last thing is, have you ever participated in a rescue operation like that before?
No, not with a sailing vessel and things, no.
Okay, thank you.
All right, everyone. Well, I think hopefully this was fruitful. Oh. Yes, go for it.
May I add two items?
Okay.
This is Jennifer. For people who may not understand traveling with pets, those are our companion animals, and they actually made the bad times so much better. If we had not had them to increase the levity during the really hard times, I am absolutely positive that our attitude would not have been as positive as it was. And on top of that, I cannot begin to tell you how professional and polite and clean and perfect and amazing this ship and its personnel have been. They have attended to us with kid gloves, and I've never been on a Navy ship before, but you could eat off the floor. It is an amazing place.
Wow, thank you for that, Jennifer.
Jennifer, can you tell us how long the length of the sailboat, how many feet?
50.
Got it.
And how long was this trip in the making?
2.5 years.
How did it come about? And was there a larger... Was it part of a larger stretch of a journey?
I have traveled the Hawaiian Islands. I've been in Hawaii for 10 years, and I'd already traveled the islands, and I wanted to go see the other 20,000. 1,000 islands in the South Pacific. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. When I asked Natasha if she would like to join me, I told her, I said, I do not know what we are going to do. You know, I have no idea what's going to happen out there. And she said, that's okay. I've never failed. So this amazing woman beside me had honestly never sailed a day in her life before we left on May 3rd. She didn't even know to be scared during the 4th-11 storm, which, if I might add, is the only... It's 4th-11 and then hurricane. I mean, this is the kind of thing you just avoid. She stuck it through the White Claw. She stuck it out through the shark attacks the first time. She stuck it out through the 40 to 50-foot sharks that broke somebody else's boat, because we saw parts of their boat float by us 3 days later. We know they're killers. And she didn't flinch at things that I expect grown men to cry about. So I was stoked to have the love that we did.
Tasha, what do you do for a living?
Thinking of going to teaching people about sailing in the Pacific.
That's actually good. I'm a
closer
generation.
How do you two know each other?
We don't have a lot of business opportunities out there. You know, we were thinking about making a floating Starbucks, but we're still looking at, you know, the cost-benefit ratio.
Maybe we get, like, you know, Del Marine stuff.
Hey, we might need this. If you can find us, got you. Can I ask how far in Tahiti did you guys get?
I apologize. Repeat, please.
How far to Tahiti did you guys get?
How far to Tahiti did you get?
Oh,
we got to 8... A little over 8, almost 9 degrees south, and that would have put us about 10 degrees or 600 miles short of our destination.
How do you two know each other?
One more question about how you both knew each other, and then we'll wrap up from there.
I had a temporary job at security at a haul out. At the boatyard at KMI, and I met Jen there because she had her boat in haul-out. Yep, she was the only chick there working on a boat, and it was the saddest thing in the world, because she had to work at night, because every day she would have to put up with men telling her, you're not supposed to be doing that. What are you doing? Don't mess with the hole. But I kid you not, if she did not do what she did to that hole, we would have died 1,000 times over by sharks, by the weather. I mean,
by hitting a log,
which we did. Thankfully, not going over like 8 knots, because we would have been done. But I met her there, and she had the boys, and I was just like, oh, this is the cutest dogs in the world! And right there, click, best friend. And then I was about to quit my job and go to Cali to go help out my aunt. And she was like, oh, I'm leaving in January. Why don't you come with me? And I was like, all right. I packed up, and I've been living on the boat ever since. And we left on the 3rd of May. She is now my sister.
Absolutely.
She's my sister.
Well, we really appreciate everyone dialing in, and for you all on the ship, just an amazing story, and we know just a lot of an amazing story. So for the media people, please follow up with me. I know there were some specific requests. We'll try to facilitate those as best we can, and also if there's any additional info needed, we'll try to get that for you. And as I said at the beginning, we're trying to get more of the B-roll off, we'll continue to follow up. But again, thank you to everyone, and appreciate your time. Safe sailing to the hose on the USS Ashland, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to clarify one thing.